Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Monday morning. It's August 20th. I hope you had a relaxing weekend. And I hope you can stay tuned for our program this morning, a special edition of Catholic Connection. We're coming off of a beautiful mini pilgrimage we had in Michigan in what's known as the Thumb Area. We had people from across the Great Lakes State and across the country, actually. We had several people from out of town, including Minnesota, Texas, Ohio, come up to the Thumb Area over the weekend for what we call a matter of taste. And we have a wine tasting from wines in Michigan in the Thumb Area. And yes, when you talk about the Thumb Area, when you hold up your left hand and look at the thumb, we call that the Thumb Area or the Blue Water region as well, because you have the beautiful blue waters of the St. Clair River leading into gorgeous Lake Huron, which of course is one of the Great Lakes. And what we do is we give people a mini retreat just to get away from the hustle and bustle, and especially this summer, the craziness that's out there, the summer of suffering that we continue to have in the church in terms of hearing about all these developments regarding the abuse cases and what we need to do about them as a people of God. So it is necessary and it is good to get away for a while. And so that's what we did with about 40 pilgrims. We had one full bus and it was just beautiful. We went up to Port Huron, which is right at the tip of the St. Clair River entering into Lake Huron. And Kelly Walquist from Women in the New Evangelization and myself gave a talk to the ladies on Friday night, Why Women Need Wine, 24/7, Women in the New Evangelization, and 24/7 based on my new book, Beyond Sunday, Becoming a 24/7 Catholic. And my husband, Deacon Dominic, and a wonderful priest from our Archdiocese of Detroit, Father Mario Amore, gave a talk about unleashing the male genius. And then Saturday morning, we went to a winery. They had the blessing of the vines. And then we had a wine tasting in the afternoon, learning all about the history of the Catholic faith and the connection to wine. And then after that, we had a closing mass. And it was overnight. It was less than 48 hours. And by the end of it, you feel like you have been gone for several days. And I think this is an important point. The reason I'm sharing this with you as we enter into a special edition this morning of Catholic Connection, because we're stretching out our weekend to give us a little bit more rest and relaxation, is we all need to get away, all of us. We all need to come away for a while, right? And refocus, re-energize. And right now is a very busy time of year. Summer is still going on. Some people are on vacations. But many of you already have your children back in school or are getting ready for your children to get back in school. And then the fall starts kicking in. And then you have all of those different fall activities. Then before you know it, the holidays, believe it or not, are here. And aren't we reminded of that every time we walk into one of our local department stores or Hallmarks, right? Christmas and Halloween and all these different things are around us pushing the seasons. Not to mention a whole Thanksgiving section as well that I saw the other day. So we really like to remind you to take a little bit of a break. So it was a beautiful weekend, and maybe next year you can join us if you haven't yet on A Matter of Taste. It's something we do annually toward the end of summer to give people that one last chance to get away before the busyness of fall. So this morning we are going to give you another little bit of a break, actually. We're going to be talking to two amazing women of God who I think will really help you, especially right now with all that we're facing in the church and in the world. It's bad enough that we are continuing to get so many attacks from the culture on faith, family, marriage, life. But then we have our own issues that we must deal with, must deal with. And as a people of God, we must stand up. Yes, we're outraged, but as we spoke about last week, we need to remember, in addition to expressing that righteous anger, we have to put that into an effort to make sure the leaders of our church are taking this extremely seriously and are really addressing this matter to get to the bottom of it. With that in mind, we're going to be chatting with Emily Jaminet. So what will help us in terms of focusing and helping the church get to the bottom of this issue? Well, I believe, and this is what Deacon Dom and I always try to do, is a focus on our own prayer life to make sure that we are focused on the Lord, that we understand our role in the church, our role in family life, and how we can make a difference. It starts, though, actually, with each of us, doesn't it? We have to maybe understand our own spiritual state of life. Are we visiting church enough, adoration enough? Are we praying enough? Are we reading scripture enough? Are we making sure we're taking advantage of the sacraments? All these things will strengthen us for that daily journey so that we can address all the issues in life, including what's going on in the church right now. So Emily is an author and a speaker, and she's done a couple of really cool books, co-authored, especially The Friendship Project, which is really great. And she has a beautiful article that was picked up by Catholic Moms. It's also on her website, emilyjaminet.com, and her last name is spelled J-A-M-I-N-E-T.com. 5 suggestions for a more peaceful home life. And what a perfect time for that, as I mentioned, since we're all so busy right now, many families getting ready to do the back-to-school thing. What can we do in our homes to make sure it's peaceful? And she mentions, actually, enthronement to the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. If you've never done that or looked into that, you can actually go to Men of the Sacred Hearts online. They got started here in Michigan, and it's growing all over the country, and it's just a fantastic ministry. They actually come in your home, they pray. Our Lady of Fatima, this beautiful statue, stays in your home for a week, and your home is enthroned under the protection of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. That's a great way to bring peace into your home. And of course, she talks about prayer, scripture reading, family time. It's a really good article. We'll post it on the link to our archive section. Andrew will put that up there a little bit later today on AveMariaRadio.net under archives. And then I think this interview with Alyssa Bormez, who is a speaker and an author and very involved in WINE, Women in the New Evangelization, serves as an MC at many of our events. Her testimony about the power of Humana Vitae in her life, this talk she gave is a few years old, but her testimony is so strong to remind us that regardless of some of the chaos going on right now in the church, and just because some folks in the church are not following the teachings or seem to believe in them based on how they're acting out in their lives, it doesn't mean the church teachings aren't true. These teachings are life-changing, and those of us who've gone through a reversion or a conversion or who struggle day to day with really trying to grasp the depth of what we've been given in the church, no wonder she's so much under attack. I think it's encouraging to hear testimonies of folks like Alyssa. She was post-abortive. She went through healing, confession. When she discovered, though, the church teachings, and in particular, Humana Vitae, it changed her life. I want to play a short clip which Andrew has pulled from her talk that she gave several years ago in the Archdiocese of Minneapolis and St. Paul. We're going to be interviewing her, and we also have a link to that full talk, which has been posted on CatholicVineyard.com. But here's a little bit about what she has to say, and I think this will be so encouraging for you to remember that the truth is the truth is the truth. Take a listen.
So this began this journey home, and I have this beautiful journal. And in the past in my life, when I'd write in a journal, it was all this self-seeking craziness. So I thought, I need to write something. The journal is so beautiful, I don't want to have to come back and read it and be embarrassed, so I better write something good in it. So I began to write what I would learn at Mass. I was at Mass on July 14, 2002, and this is what I wrote in my journal. The priest had given a homily about contraception. I now understand that in my life, birth control was so I could do what I wanted, when I wanted. I was putting myself in control. God should be in control. Also, the birth control gave a green light to allowing other men to use me. In my eyes, I thought that because of birth control, nothing would happen. What I didn't take into consideration was my soul. Nothing did happen, as in my soul seemed to be nothing. It was this vast wasteland of nothingness. My self-worth was nothing. What men thought of me was nothing. And nothing happened. I didn't find what I was looking for. I got nothing back from these men. There was nothing to show for all this fun. It was nothing. I still felt empty. Without birth control, one must finally realize what one is engaging in. We must put God first, not the physical first. In that, a different sort of nothing will happen. Nothing bad will happen to your soul. In the sanctity of marriage, I will have nothing to worry about in terms of my husband respecting me. He will have already committed his soul to mine before he has committed his body, and nothing will be better. So many people think that nothing will happen with contraception, and I tell them, you're right. Nothing will happen. Nothing has become an epidemic.
Nothing has become an epidemic. Meaning the emptiness and the nothingness of what the world gives us versus what the church has given us in her timeless, forever true teaching, such as Humana Vitae, of human life given to us by Blessed Pope Paul VI, soon to be St. Paul VI, coming up this fall. So I hope that you find these two interviews encouraging, hopeful, and I hope that they give you lots of ideas in terms to strengthen you for the journey, food for the journey, as Sister Ann Shields always says. We're in a tumultuous time in the church, in the world. Yes, we are, but we need to remember that Jesus gave us the church, founded on the rock, St. Peter, and he promised us that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And as I mentioned to you last Thursday and Friday, we will be having a webcast on this situation within the church on Wednesday, my monthly webcast that I do, and we'll post the information for you, and I'm sending out an e-blast. You can sign up for it. It's free. And we'll be looking at how we can pull together as co-workers of the kingdom in making a difference. And one of the ways we can make a difference is to make sure that we spend time with the Lord and ask for his direct guidance. Lord, what do you want me to do for you? As St. Teresa of Avila said in that beautiful prayer that I read recently, In the Hands of God. Alyssa Bormez and Emily Janik coming up on this edition of Catholic Connection on a Monday, August 20th. Thanks for listening. And you are, by the way, listening to EWTN. We're also co-produced by Ave Maria Radio, AveMariaRadio.net, and EWTN.com. We'll be right back on a Monday morning.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds do not, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hello, this is Steve Ray. I'd like to invite you to go on a pilgrimage with me. Why a pilgrimage? It's life-changing. It makes the Bible come alive. We have several coming up in the fall and winter of this year. St. Paul Cruise, 9 biblical sites, Mexico and Guadalupe. It's very safe and beautiful, by the way, and many to the Holy Land.
Pick the pilgrimage that's right for you. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the pilgrimage link. There's two coming up and a lot more to come. AveMariaRadio.net.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization, Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% to Father Bouquet's Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Welcome back. It's Catholic Connection. Of course, because of the 50th anniversary of Humana Vitae, we are really talking a great deal about that incredible encyclical, which is so prophetic, especially if we look out into the world and see what's happening. I just wrote my latest Our Sunday Visitor column on Humana Vitae in terms of connecting the dots or failure to do so. And we all have to get there. And I know we get there when we get there, but we don't have to go through a lot of pain in order to get there because there is a better plan. If you do make mistakes, if you do go down a path that is sinful, God is always going to forgive. He allows U-turns continuously because he's an amazing God. Thanks be to God for the beautiful sacrament of reconciliation. So there's always hope there. But what we want you to know, brothers and sisters, that you don't have to go down that road of pain and sin and regret. Now, God will use it once you confess and you open yourselves up and you allow him to use it and become a witness. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. But he offers such a beautiful plan of love and life. John 10:10, I have come to give you life so you may have it abundantly. And there are other ways to find it besides going down a road of sin. And again, you're forgiven. You go to confession. It is forgiven. You are as white as snow when you walk out of that confessional. But there is a plan that God offers us, and he wants us to give that serious consideration. And we're going to talk about that with Alyssa Bormez, and she is on the phone with me right now. And I've known her for many years, and we've had some great conversations together, working together on wine, women in the new evangelization. And yes, having an occasional glass of vino, why not? We're allowed to do that in moderation in the Catholic Church. Alyssa, what an amazing testimony. We played part of it for our listeners. I'm going to share some again this morning. Wow. When did you give that talk?
Actually, I gave the talk 4 years ago.
Okay.
But, you know, every now and then the Holy Spirit just keeps poking me in the side. And I just knew there was something about the 50th anniversary of Humanae Vitae that needed the voice of the women like me.
You had some real trauma in your life. You had several abortions, correct? Give us your story in summary.
Well, I grew up in the 70s and 80s, and when Humanae Vitae should have been taught to me, I just heard silence. And I didn't really understand what contraception was or not. And then I got to college and just really lost my footing. We were in this time of, you know, you can do what you want, and God is love, and he's this warm, fuzzy love. And isn't that wonderful? And so whatever you wanted to do was fine. So I went to college and just lost my footing. And I, as I say, there's a parade of bad men. I contracepted. And in May of 1988, I understood there's something wrong with the parade of bad men, and I'm going to stop. I couldn't figure it out, but I'm just going to stop being with men. In January of 1989, I was raped and was pregnant. And all I could hear was the voice of the world saying the way to solve rape is with abortion. And so I had an abortion, and this just intensified my promiscuity again. And I just fell back into everything. It was just darkness. And a year later, I was pregnant again, had another abortion, and just in this complete darkness. That's all I can say, is that everything I did was surrounded by this darkness. And in August 19, 1998 was the day I was ready to kill myself, and the note was written. But it was the love of my mother. I thought, she'll be the one who finds me, and I cannot do this to her, to have that image emblazoned in her mind. And so I said to God, I'll give you one shot at this. He took me up on it, Teresa. And he doesn't need more than one shot, by the way. And so then it was this process of healing, going to confession, as you said. I went to Bishop Paul Dudley for confession, of happy memory. He died in 2006, but what an influence he was in my life. And I really had turmoil coming back to the church. I knew this faith my parents had given me was a place to rest, in a sense, but I didn't really want to be Catholic with all its rules, you know, except for that I kept finding that the rules were really wrapped in this blanket of love. And that I always say my first adult relationship was with the church. Mm. And so anyway, even though I was sort of a rough ride coming back, and at times I just wanted to leave again, I really understood, but my only choice is to be here. Otherwise, it's death. And so the culture of life is just really black and white, in a sense, in my life. And then here I am, and God, in his mercy, has been wildly generous to me, and then asking me not just accepting me home, but then saying, okay, now can you do some work for me? Are you kidding me? Do you know who I am? I've rejected you for all these years. And that's how, he's just amazing. And the healing is so good. One of my favorite things when people meet me is they'll say, oh, I could never believe this of you. And I say, you shouldn't be able to, because the healing is that complete.
When you look out, and by the way, we're talking with Alyssa Barnes, who has an amazing testimony on Hope and Healing on the 50th anniversary of Humana Vitae, a powerful talk, and we'll give you the link to it, and we'll share some bites in a minute if you didn't hear us running it earlier on Catholic Connection. I look out, and I see all this anger and angst, and we were talking about this at the last conference we were at, but it's gotten increasingly worse since the last time I saw you in person, Alyssa, at one of the wine events. And you see, for example, we've had two women's marches now, so-called women's marches, and you see the anger. And even after the announcement of Brett Kavanaugh as the president's choice for the replacing Justice Anthony Kennedy on the Supreme Court, this anger, and these women, and I can look at them and I can sense pain. What are you sensing when you see what's going on out there in the culture?
I think you've nailed it. In this talk that you'll link to, I speak about the invisible print of the abortion industry. The talk is really both about contraception and abortion, and then, of course, healing and hope. But that there's invisible print when you go and get an abortion, and that it's as if you sign that you have to hold an anvil above your head for the rest of your life. And in my case, I decided to hold two anvils above my head. And the way you keep your elbows strong is to repeat the abortion mantras, but you have to, those anvils are heavy, and you have to repeat them over and over, louder and louder, faster and faster, and I do believe that I was, in a sense, the voice for abortion, because I was trying to pretend having killed my babies was okay. It wasn't okay. It was terrible, and so when you have the worst day and the best day come together, and the worst day is when the anvils fall on your chest and you have to say, I killed my babies, and then that's the best day because you're able to finally allow healing. And that's what I see, is that in a certain sense, all these women, God bless them, they have anvils above their head, or they're holding someone else's anvil as well. I'm going to try and strengthen your arm, and an anvil is a heavy thing, and I guess what we can pray for is that the anvil collectively falls on the chest of the nation.
We've talked about this before, and my husband and I are very involved in the pro-life movement, and we know, and having the work that I do at Silent No More Awareness and other pro-life ministries that work with men and women who are post-abortive, the anger and the pain has to go somewhere. And in a culture and in a world when they're surrounded by people who are saying that abortion is no big deal, and yet deep down they must know somewhere, even if they, and many women don't come to the realization of what's wrong with their lives. Sometimes it takes them 5 years, sometimes it's immediate, sometimes it's 5 years, sometimes it's 10 years. Some of the studies show even 20 years later, but in the meantime, their lives are spinning out of control in so many different ways, relationship problems, and some of the things, for example, that you described.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes, what do you think it takes to get to someone like that? Is it on their own? Obviously, it's God's timing, but how do you reach out because they don't want to talk about it?
Yeah, I want to say two things here. First is, even going to counseling, when I went to secular counselors to say, I can't quite figure out what's wrong with my life, but boy, is it in a tailspin into the ground. If I brought up abortion, they would change the subject. But they were more than happy to bring up things that were ages old, to place blame where it didn't belong. They were more than happy to change the subject or to divert the attention. But when I brought up abortion, it was just brushed over and quickly changing the subject. I remember one counselor I brought up that I was going to go to confession. She was furious. And am I not enough? And I just was so struck. So I think there's that, is that even when you seek help, everybody says, well, no, that's not the problem. Let's get after that fourth grade overdue book incident, you know, and you haven't dealt with that. Are you kidding me? I biked a buck over to the library and I was grounded. You know,
right.
I took care of it. And so there's that part that we don't want to admit it. But how do we get to that point? You know, one of the things, again, you mentioned it in your opening that God will allow the evil, when it heals, he'll allow you to use that. And I think the women who are like me, men who've participated in abortion, more times than you can imagine, I have said to women, it's time to come home now. And it's your children, you know, in essence, your children do miss you. And this was something. And in just a certain tone, it's time to come home. Hmm. It's time to talk about this.
Let's take a quick break. If you have a question for Alyssa, we will be right back. The Hope and Healing of Humana Vitae, One Woman's Journey of Faith and Healing on the 50th anniversary of Pope Paul VI encyclical. You can find it at catholicvineyard.com, and we'll also post it on my Facebook page at facebook.com/Mrs. Teresa Tomeo. And it is a link to pass around, please, especially as we move toward the anniversary, of course, and marking this anniversary this week and beyond of the 50th anniversary of Humana Vitae. We'll be right back.
He was born and bred in Okarche, Oklahoma, and he sensed a call to the priesthood, but was asked to leave after 6 years due to low grades. But he never gave up. His farmer-like perseverance paid off in 1963 with ordination, and he later became a missionary in Guatemala, where he started a radio station, helped build a hospital, and translated the New Testament into the native Tzulahil language. When extremist militants who ran Guatemala put him on a death squad hit list, he was brought back to Oklahoma, but he soon returned, saying, "The shepherd cannot run from his flock." On a hot July evening in 1981, this servant of the poor and of the gospel was murdered. This September 23rd, Father Stanley Rother will become the very first U.S.-born male blessed, an amazing priest and martyr. Father Stanley, pray for us. I'm Patrick Coffin of patrickcoffin.media. Be a saint. What else is there?
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Countless Catholics settling for a life of faith that begins and ends with the obligatory Sunday Mass. While essential, giving just 1 hour of our lives to God can never satisfy our deep longing for a purposeful, joy-filled life. Hi, I'm Teresa Tomeo, host of Catholic Connection, and in my new book, Beyond Sunday, Becoming a 24/7 Catholic, I get real about what it takes for us to live as a Catholic every day of the week. You can purchase Beyond Sunday and the study guide at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
All segments and interviews of Catholic Connection can be listened to again or downloaded in its entirety at AveMariaRadio.net. Check it out today, AveMariaRadio.net.
Paul VI had predicted my life and the lives of my generation, and no one thought to tell us. Instead, we were just met with silence. In 2011, I read Humanae Vitae again, and this time what stood out to me was the call for it to be taught. The Church wasn't silent. Paul VI appealed to educators, public authorities, scientists, doctors, and other medical professionals, husbands and wives, priests and bishops. In 1968, the Holy Father called these people to teach Humanae Vitae. Would I have listened if I had been taught? I did listen. It was just that I was taught by the world. But I also heard the silence and acted on it. If Humanae Vitae had been taught, would I have listened? I'll never know, but I would have loved the opportunity.
Wow. That says so much, Alyssa. Thank you so much for your story. Have you been sharing this? I know it's been on a number of different platforms out there online. What has been the response so far?
You know, I think some of the endorsements on the link, as people look it up, they're so humbling. And it's just going to choke me up, but they're so humbling. It's hard for me to say, well, wasn't that a great thing I said, you know, and it was really the Holy Spirit who was working with me to get this speech out. And then now in this case, but what is interesting to me is the different things that people pick up on. And, you know, one person will pick up on a really strong humani vitae thing. Another person will pick up on your mother's love and the encyclical and the love of this pope that you had when you were young, and that his words finally came rushing back to you. And or at the end of the speech, I talk about the five popes. I'll let them listen to that, but how it all came home to me at the installation mass of Francis, and sitting there on the colonnade, and how my whole life made sense as I sat on the colonnade while Pope Francis was being installed. But it's amazing to me what people, the reaction has been incredible so far.
Yeah, I think it touches people. Your testimony will touch people different places because people have different things going on in their lives, but that's why it's so important to give your testimony, whether it's testimony about post-abortion healing in your case, or whether it's marriage testimony, whatever it is, people are going to resonate with it, because so many of us, as you point out, Alyssa, have been so negatively impacted by the culture.
Yeah. I know it's been said that the church had laryngitis, you know, when the Humani Vitae came out, and that's sort of a cute way to say it, I guess. But what that doesn't take into account are the millions and millions of women and men who it flipped over our whole lives not to be taught and to let the world teach us this new way of do what you want and nothing will happen if you have contraception. And as I said, nothing will happen. Nothing has become an epidemic.
The thing that I think is important to remember is that there was a lot of dissent everywhere with this decision, including a great deal of dissent in the church, open dissent. And many of our bishops are very honest. I just did an interview with Bishop Battersby from the Archdiocese of Detroit, saying that it wasn't taught and it's still not taught enough from the pulpit. But I think we also have to remember that we're not getting just catechized one day a week. If we are in the world every single day, the majority of us are in the world, and God willing, as Christians, hopefully we're not of the world, as Scripture tells us. But you are getting catechized by the world if you're not in Scripture, if you're not spending time in adoration, if you're not praying. So you are going to get, even regardless, and I'm not making any excuses for not teaching on Sunday, but you have to be living your faith 24/7, correct?
Yeah, you do. And Paul VI, he didn't just implore bishops and priests to teach it. It was mothers and fathers,
right?
Doctors, teachers, healthcare professionals, right? He implored the world. If you have influence on someone else to teach them, you teach them. You learn this and you teach them. And it's time. I really think that it is time for Catholics to just pick up the encyclical and read it. It is so accessible. You'll be blown away by the beauty of it. In a certain sense, its simplicity.
And timelessness of it, in terms of especially what's going on now, correct?
Yeah, and the first time I read it, I kept turning back to the back page, because it says it on the back page, it says it's promulgated in 1968.
Right.
So I kept turning back to the back page to say, is this really from 1968? Because it feels like it was from last week.
Right. Well, especially when you look at all the campaigns out there, the hashtag, you know, Me Too and the Time's Up campaign, and you look at all, we were talking about this during the break, all the sexual scandals that are plaguing us, and we're seeing it all over now. We're seeing it in the media. We're seeing it in Hollywood. Of course, we continue to deal with the fallout of the issues that we have in our own backyard in the church. But it's so clear in terms of what happens when you go against the natural law.
It is. I'm living proof. It is. And that nothing will happen. You'll be just fine if you do what the world says. No, the world's giving its own proof that you won't be just fine.
Well, the fallout, the sexually transmitted diseases, the anger, the breakup of marriage, all of these things that we think we can try, whether it's this transgender agenda, it's everywhere. Once you break away from that, it's chaos and anarchy. It goes back to the Garden of Eden, where we think we can play God, and we simply can't.
Yeah. It's not something to be grasped at, as Christ says.
It is a tough topic to talk about, but I think the timing, we have got to stop being afraid of it, and we have got to stop only pointing to our church leaders, our priests. Not that they shouldn't be speaking or preaching about it, not only in their homilies, but whatever access they have to their parishioners and to the members of their church through newsletters, through their bulletins, whatever they can do to teach, bringing in speakers. It's all of our responsibilities to talk about this, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And things like this speech, do your pastor a favor and give him this link and let him continue teaching right past the pulpit. If you're only showing up for 1 hour, you can't teach it all in an hour, right? It's why we have school for 9 months and then they keep going and going and going after that, right? That we need more time. And so do your pastor a favor and give him the link. And let's start with a number of these sorts of things so everybody can be a teacher. And if you think, well, I'm not that great of a teacher, listen to this. Pick up some of the things or send it around to your friends. This might, maybe mine, God willing, is a voice they can hear.
Yeah, and I think just sharing something like this is very powerful. You don't have to say anything. Say, hey, I heard this interview with Alyssa this morning on Catholic Radio. I'm passing on this link. It's an incredible testimony. Listen to her journey in light of everything that's going on in our culture. Where can we find you online if someone wants to bring you in to speak, Alyssa?
AlyssaBormis.com.
Okay, and spell that for us again in case someone's just tuning
Alyssa,
in.
AlyssaBormis, Bormis, BORMES.com.
Well, you are just amazing. Thank you for your beautiful testimony and your courage, sister. Can't wait to see you again. We'll be right back on Catholic Connection. Be not afraid to share your story. Somebody out there needs to hear it. We'll be right back.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I don't think people should have negative fears of God, but I think you should get a lump in your throat. You should feel excited. Suppose I was going to take you and introduce you to the Pope or to the president of some country or something. You might get a little lump in your throat. Forget it. Every day, I live and move and have our being in the presence of God. These are the class of feelings we should have. And we should have them to an intense degree if we really had the sight of Almighty God. These feelings are the feelings which we shall have if we realize His presence. And in proportion as we believe that He is present, we shall have them. And not to have them is not to realize, not to believe that God is present to us.
EWTN. Live Truth. Live Catholic.
Why is sacrifice an important part of worship? The Catholic Catechism tells us that it is right and good to offer sacrifice to God as a sign of adoration, gratitude, supplication, and communion. What is the sacrifice most pleasing to God? Psalm 51 says, "It is a broken spirit." What does that mean? Paragraph 2100 of the Catechism counsels, "Outward sacrifice, to be genuine, must be an expression of inward spiritual sacrifice. Old covenant prophets denounced sacrifices that were not from the heart or not coupled with love of neighbor. The one perfect sacrifice was Jesus' agony and death on the cross. By uniting ourselves with the Lord's sacrifice, we can make our lives a sacrifice to God." This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
It's a Monday morning. It's August 20th, 2018. So good to be with you on Catholic Connection coast to coast and around the world. And it's always good to talk about being peaceful. And we certainly can use a lot more of that in our lives, in our world. And if we think about it, everything that's going on in the church and in the world, it can be very upsetting at times. And we have to make sure that when we're attempting to go out there and make a difference, which we're all called to do by virtue of our baptism, that means evangelize, to make sure that our homes, our own spiritual state is solid and that we are doing our best to follow all the teachings of the church and to keep our eyes on Christ. And that's why I love the idea when Emily Jaminet contacted me, and she's an author and a speaker and does such great work in Columbus, Ohio and elsewhere with the Women's Conference and so many cool ministries. And she's also the co-author of a really great book called The Friendship Project, which actually is a big part of the Wine Book Club this summer, Women in the New Evangelization. We'll mention that a little bit later. But anyway, I love this idea. Five suggestions for a more peaceful home, and we can't give what we don't have. And again, so if we're trying to go out there to make a difference and to really bring peace to others and to make sure people are approaching even the most horrible of problems we're seeing in the world and some of the things going on in the church right now, we have to make sure we have peace in our homes and our lives first. Emily, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It is an important topic, and right now I'm in a place of transition with all my kids heading back to school. And for many of us, we're, you know, ramping up our careers as we're approaching the fall, and we need to, you know, consider what is the state of our home life. You know, when we walk through the door, what's going on behind those closed doors? And, you know, let's be people of hope. What are new strategies we can implement for gaining new graces, to gain not the peace of the world, not the the beach-like vacation feeling that we all might have experienced or hope to experience this past summer, but what Jesus is offering us. So I think about, you know, the scripture, John 14:26, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. So he's not offering us this superficial peace. He's offering us something of inner peace, stability, no matter what your trials and tribulations are. And I think the first place we can start is, you know, thinking about all of the times we hear about peace during the Mass, you know, turning to the Mass for the strength we need, the graces we need, the Holy Eucharist to feed us, and maybe even take a minute and pause and reflect on what is the exchange of peace with the people in my very own pew, whoever's joined me for that Mass. You know, maybe stranger, maybe brother, maybe sister, maybe mother, father, mother-in-law. You know, am I genuine? Am I sincere when I do the exchange of peace? And, you know, the priest says, the peace of the Lord be with you. And we say also with you and with your spirit. And then we exchange this peace. So let's be genuine with that and seek out new graces, beginning with being, you know, recognizing peace is a gift.
So that's number one, peace as a gift, which is really powerful if we think about it. Number two, and I love this because I've done this in my home, enthronement of the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Yes, at enthronements.com, you know, we sell these, or, you know, have these self-enthronement kits where you invite Jesus into your home as your friend, your brother, and as a king. And you view your home as a little Bethany, a little haven where our Lord can come, and he wants to be a part of your home life no matter what's going on. And the first three promises that our Lord gave St. Margaret Mary Alacoque in 1673 was, I'll give peace in their homes, I will console them in all their troubles, and I will give them the graces necessary for their state in life. So, I mean, what do you think of that, Teresa? What could be better than living a life where you're not only placing Jesus as king of your home, but you're learning to honor him each and every day right in your very own home?
Well, I think very highly of it because I've had it done to my home and to my office, and it makes such a huge difference. And what they tell you, and I don't have to tell you this because you're so familiar with the enthronement through the amazing ministry of your parents as well, is that they leave you with these beautiful images of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the two of them together. And they ask you to place this image in a very prominent part of your home. And so I have two or three of these. Others I've been given as a gift, but I make sure that they're in, I have it in my kitchen, I have it in my living room, I have it in my office, my home office. And so everywhere I go in my house, in addition to all the other religious art that I have, I am recognizing that they are there to remind me of who's in charge, and it's not me.
I love it. Recently, I've been getting these amazing testimonies of families who've enthroned the Sacred Heart of Jesus in their home, like you said, in their business, even in their schools. And when you bring and invite Jesus, you know, he wants to help you. And one of the things he wants to do is give you family unity, help you in your times of trouble. So no problem is too big. And The men of the Sacred Hearts right outside of Detroit have been a real advocate for this, not only locally but nationally, with helping me set up this network of getting other cities to have missionaries to teach people really how to invite Jesus right into their very own home.
Now, you wrote this in a blog, so I want to mention folks where they can find it. We'll post it on our archive section today later on after the program. 5 suggestions for a more peaceful home life. We're talking with Emily Jeminet. She's a mom, she's a Catholic speaker and a writer, and her books include The Friendship Project and also Divine Mercy for Moms. She's been on the show on both before, and her parents are amazing witnesses to the faith. I've had the opportunity to meet them and stay in their peaceful home and be with them during various conferences. And so she's got 5 suggestions for peace in the home with some great scripture references. We mentioned peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. The next reference was allowing us not to have our hearts troubled in John 14:27. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And then we go on to other scripture verses here in this article. Where can they find the article, actually, Emily?
You can find it right on my personal blog, emilyjaminet.com. And at the end of the month, I'm also going to repost it at CatholicMom.com, a way to just continue to help families, individuals, and those who need some new strategies for how to, you know, not have worldly peace, but eternal peace within their very own home.
Yeah, the next verse you have here is peace to this house from Luke 10:5. And this is so important in reading all of these different articles and blogs on what's going on in our church right now. There's a terrible crisis that we're facing regarding a second or maybe even, as some say, a third round of abuse and the investigations that are forthcoming. A lot of people are feeling, well, how we say, not peaceful, reading a lot about parents who say they've raised their kids in the faith and only one goes to church, or what do I say to my kids now, because it doesn't seem that even our church leaders and some of them are not following church teaching. We really need to have peace and remember what our Lord said, especially in Matthew 16. What are your thoughts on peace at this given time in the church?
Well, I do think peace and forgiveness go hand in hand. And when you look at the microcosm of the family life, let's just, you know, break it down there. We do have a lot of interactions that can be, you know, not only fruitful, but can be hurtful. And, you know, choosing to be the peacemaker, choosing to seek out, to reconcile with those in your own community, your own network, you know, you can really, it's not just about the other person, it's about gaining peace within you. That's where our Lord will help you, is by choosing to forgive. And I think about how, you know, relevant this is in my own life. I just celebrated my 20th wedding anniversary. And in that moment, you know, one of the things we did is we took time to reconcile. We took time to forgive for many of the little hurts over those 20 years. And we have family reconciliation Sunday night before we say the family rosary. We gather and we, you know, seek pardon and forgiveness for the offenses of the week. And then we go into family prayer. And, of course, all of this is a springboard for the sacrament of reconciliation, which my husband and I both went to after, you know, this beautiful conversation we had after 20 years of marriage. And we realized it was such a light feeling. We were able to, you know, love each other in a new way, you know, start over in a new way. And some of those little patterns that just need to change over the course of time. So as you mentioned, something as terrible as abuse in the church, you know, I think we need to have the hope of our Lord. Mm-hmm. And we need to recognize that even in our own family life, you know, the mother of 7 children, 18 to 2, there's pain that can happen right in our own home, maybe not to the scale that obviously you just said, but we need to constantly keep avenues of communication and opportunities for forgiveness.
I want to go over the points here, Emily, if you're just joining us. 5 suggestions for a more peaceful home life. Number 1 is peace is a gift, to recognize that. And the second suggestion here, to have your home enthroned to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. This is just huge. And Men of the Sacred Hearts can be found easily online. If you're not familiar with that website, email me. I'll send you the link. I've done that to my home and office. And let me tell you, it's an incredible experience. And Our Lady of Fatima stays with you, this beautiful statue, for a week after the enthronement. And then number 3, peace and forgiveness. Choose to be a peacemaker. And number 4, pray the peace prayer. And this is so beautiful, the prayer of St. Francis. And so many of us know this so well, Emily.
You're right. Many school children can recite it. You know, just from singing it at Mass. But it's, I know St. Francis' feast day is October, and you know, but this is a prayer that we can really live out each and every day and reflect on. And you know, this is a prayer I have in my kitchen. This is a prayer that I tuck away and I talk about with the children. You know, and the first couple lines are, "Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light." And, you know, we can make the choice to be light in this world. And we don't, there are problems out there, but we can choose to be the peacemaker. We can choose only to be the peacemaker when our Lord gives us that peace and our homes becomes peaceful. So whatever trials and tribulations you're dealing with, our Lord has enough grace for you to conquer those trials and remain peaceful even in the midst of the storms.
And last but certainly not least, I love this, number 5, the suggestion, turn to Our Lady, Our Blessed Mother, Our Lady, Queen of Peace. Amen.
Amen. And, you know, I just want to reiterate the importance of praying the daily rosary, praying to the Blessed Mother. And, you know, she was the mother of Jesus Christ, and she's our mother. She was given to us at the cross, and she is a person who wants to always lead you to her son. So think of her holding your hand and guiding you, whatever age you are, whatever stage in life you're dealing with. And I think about one of the promises that Our Lady gave to us, to those who recite the rosary. And it's, "Those who shall recite my rosary devoutly, meditating on its mysteries, shall not be overwhelmed by misfortune. The sinner shall be comforted, the just shall grow in grace, and become worthy of eternal life." So to me, that's a great motivation to continue to seek out these graces through the rosary, which have been reiterated, the importance of this from Our Lady of Fatima and many, all of the apparitions internationally, worldwide, the importance of seeking out her grace and counsel. And if you want to learn more, open the Gospel of Luke and just start reading at the very beginning the wonderful story of the Blessed Mother and how God gave her the Son, which is the Son of God.
Yeah, Emily, this is such great advice, especially when we see so much turmoil and so many problems in the world, and as many people are heartbroken and trying to figure out what they can do to make a difference in the church as well. Let's start in our homes, and if we can get that peace truly in our hearts and maintain that, do our best to maintain it, that will just shine out to the world, and we can help the church and others be a light. Again, where do we find the article, 5 Suggestions for a More Peaceful Home Life?
You can find it right on my personal blog and website, emilyjaminet.com.
Dear, good to speak with you. God bless you and all your great writing and efforts, and look forward to having you on again soon. We'll be right back on Catholic Connection. It's a Monday morning. Stay tuned.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Do you want an affordable healthcare option that enables you to protect your family and live your Catholic faith? CMF Curo is the Catholic healthcare ministry that works to bring health to the whole person, spirit, mind, and body. CMF Curo allows you to share health costs with other Christians and is more affordable than health insurance. Go to mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
Hello, this is Steve Ray. I'd like to invite you to go on a pilgrimage with me. Why a pilgrimage? It's life-changing. It makes the Bible come alive. We have several coming up in the fall and winter of this year. St. Paul Cruz, 9 biblical sites, Mexico and Guadalupe. It's very safe and beautiful, by the way, and many to the Holy Land.
Pick the pilgrimage that's right for you. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the pilgrimage link.
There's two coming up and a lot more to come. AveMariaRadio.net.
Catholic Connection is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical. And in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
If you have any questions about a program you heard today or maybe yesterday, or if you have a question about something we do here at Catholic Radio, just give us a little note at EWTN.com or AveMariaRadio.net. You can also find out some background information about the various programs. You can get updates on our radio and TV schedules. It's all there for you online. And remember, we are here to keep you connected to your Catholic faith. And as my dear, dear friend and Catholic Radio colleague, Al Cresta always says, to help you remember to look at everything in our lives through the lenses of Scripture and the teachings of the Church. And remember what I always say, something I heard years ago, that our Catholic faith has to be everything to us. It has to come first. I'll never forget that. I heard a priest give a homily, and this was during one of the most contentious elections recently, and he said, our Catholic faith shouldn't be a factor when we go into the voting booth. It should be the factor. Because, again, we have to look at everything through the lenses of Scripture and the teachings of our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. Hope you enjoyed the program today, and we'll talk to you tomorrow on Catholic Connection.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.